back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres in LA tomorrow. Expectation is Lukanen returns to the crease, obviously with James Reimer backing up now that Devon Levi has been assigned to Rochester. I feel like a lot of people just jump to the conclusion that Reimer is going to get the Anaheim game, and for the life of me, I can't figure out why. They're
in the them well.
No, he doesn't. He was there for a 3-year San Jose Shark. If he's going to play, he should play against the San Jose Sharks. Like, he was nothing. Literally, he was a placeholder in Anaheim this year.
But he practiced with them for a while. No, I think that's silly. Like, you.
But no, like, if Lukanen wins, here's my thing. If Lukanen wins Wednesday, you're not traveling. You're staying in the same area. Wouldn't you give him the Anaheim game on Friday? No back-to-back. And then in the tougher situation, traveling after to go to San Jose for the early, well, not early, but the earlier late afternoon game in San Jose, wouldn't Reimer get that game?
Win or lose, this is a very easy road trip to plan for the goalies.
Okay.
It's Lukanen Wednesday, it's Lukanen Friday, and it's Reimer Saturday. But really, like, I want to say, could you go all three Lukanen? Like, I know he's coming back from an injury and all of that.
Like, I've lost all credibility. That's assuming I had some to begin with. So,
yeah, but I'm just saying, like, then you don't play until the Wednesday before Thanksgiving again at home against Minnesota. Like, what are you? I'm just saying, like, it's Lukanen Wednesday, Friday, in my opinion, 100%, unless there was a setback medically and all of that. But it's a very easy road trip to plan when it comes to goaltending this week.
Well, the biggest injury story in the NHL has affected the league's goal-scoring leader, Alex Ovechkin. He was on track for another hat trick last night, having already scored 2 goals in Utah. And trust me when I say, jerseys alone cannot stop a puck. And we found that out last night after Utah wowed the NHL with jersey sales, but their goaltending was subpar. And I have no question in my mind that Ovi would have had another hat trick before sustaining a leg injury. He is now listed as week to week. That is the latest from the Capitals. So a major setback for one of the major storylines in the NHL this year from a team and individual standpoint.
Remember when we showed the goal-scoring leaders of Cole Caulfield and Tage Thompson and Sam Reinhart, and Ovi was never on those graphics. Then all of a sudden, he's like 15 goals before he got hurt yesterday. He's 2 better than anybody else. Like, on pace for over 60 this season, and now he's going to miss week to week. And it's not just the fact that Ovechkin is having a great start to the year, which he didn't have last year, but he had a great second half. So now you're thinking, okay, put the second half of last year, this year. It's the chase for the great ones record. And being healthy and on pace to do it this season, which most people, me included, thought it's going to be in a year from now. Like, Ovechkin may get to 30, 35 this year, but he won't get to 42. And he was well on pace to get there. Oh, I lost my camera again, Jeff, so I'm going to click it back. But that's good. You're running B-roll, so that's good on MSG. But anyway, it just, to me, it's devastating because Washington has been such a great story. Ovechkin has been such a big part of that great story. Mm-hmm. And now he's hurt week to week. This is not a, oh, well, we'll evaluate tomorrow, day to day. Let's see what happens. It's been pretty bad.
Can the Capitals overcome this loss? And can you overcome your camera issues?
I don't know if I can overcome my camera issues.
Oh, my
issues,
gosh. Sorry. Now you have audio issues. This is...
I'm going to make sure the wire is right in there. Give me a second, because you can see that my name is on the screen, and now I'm back. So, okay.
Can you use a fake alias next time?
I can, yeah, make a fake name for the screen. Like, that would be bad, because knowing me, I would forget about it, and then it would show up on the screen, and it would be something really, really obscene. So,
now's a good time to remind Bill Wiffert we need a nice headshot of you, so let's go with that.
Oh. Can the Washington Capitals overcome the loss of Alex Ovechkin? I would love to say yes, because goaltending has been good. They play a really solid team game. Mm-hmm. Their second line with Dubois and Wilson and McMichael have been really good.
Mm-hmm.
But the leader of the charge is Alex Ovechkin, and it's a big, big hole that they will have to overcome. So I'm going to give the runner a chance, because they've shown me like from the start of the season, that they're much better than I would ever anticipated. So I'm going to give them a chance, but it's going to be a hard one to overcome.
Dylan Strome is actually leading the Capitals in points with 28 in 18 games. Connor McMichael is not far off the Rocket lead as he is at 12, just three behind Ovechkin. Alexi Protas continues to produce at a point a game clip. Their defense, which is new look to a certain extent, is still getting the consistent, despite advancing age, production from John Carlson. Pierre-Luc Dubois is up to 11 assists now. He can't score.
No.
But that's okay. Because
his wingers are scoring.
Yes. And I think, if anything, the instinct of the Capitals organizationally recently helps them through this, bringing back the familiar face of Lars Eller.
Yeah.
Just for stability in depth. At times, you're never forecasting this, obviously, but I like the look of their depth, and they've had really strong contributions from a fourth line featuring Dowd, Radish, and Duhaime. And if you saw any of last night's game against Utah, you would understand where I'm coming from on that standpoint. And then, you know, not to be lost, I don't know, did you see the tough night for Charlie Lindgren? One sequence, he lost his glove. Next sequence, he lost his helmet. And then it was like, what's he going to lose next?
But the mask, a pad. Like, we've seen goalies lose the pads before. Yeah. Like, yeah, so.
But he's 5-4, and Logan Thompson is 8-0-1. So yeah. There's a lot to like in D.C.
Now, there's a lot to like in D.C., and there's, I don't know if you saw, and this is going definitely on a sidebar, but Evgeny Kuznetsov, who was famous for his play with the Washington Capitals and doing the eagle and all of that, he scored a Michigan goal from the slot in Russia. And
why
I explained myself. He's a lefty. He was coming from the left to the right through the slot. The puck was on edge. He picked it up in the slot, flipped his wrist over, blade down. So he's corralled the puck, and then he flicked it towards the goal and beat the goalie high blocker. So he picked it up in the slot and flicked it like a Michigan would, but not from behind the net, in the slot, and beat the goalie high blocker. And in the same continuous motion as he flipped it, the puck barely had crossed the line and entered the net, that he was already doing the bird because he knew that was going in the net. Just an amazing goal that Kuznetsov scored in Russia over the weekend. We're going to show it on MSG right now, Duffer. He comes in and then he scores and gives it the old bird. Like, it just was fantastic. So anything that Washington has touched is kind of turned well in the last little bit here.
Except for last night's injury to Ovechkin.
Yes.
And if you missed the update, he is week to week with a lower leg injury after an unexpected collision leg entanglement on a bit of a drive-by with McBain of Utah. So, yeah, I would be wowed more by the Kuznetsov goal if I wasn't victimized by it regularly 20 years ago when I used to play pickup goaltending. Oh. And our good buddy Jeff Merrick and his elite group of skaters that would always play with him would torch me on crazy goals like that long before they became commonplace at the highest level in hockey. So whatever.
I got victimized by Rob Schrempf in that way many times. And Robbie Schrempf was one of the original coming down the on the penalty shot with doing the lacrosse all the way down in the spinorama. He used to do that in practice. So, yeah, so that's why I think it's very impressive, because only a very few can do those type of things, especially at high speed.
You mentioned injuries earlier across the league. Obviously, the Ovechkin one is a huge story. Matthews continuing to be out for Toronto is huge, but they've navigated incredibly well, 7-2-1 the last 10. And he may be back this weekend. We'll see. One of the most, like, life always presents you with stories that are, like, hard to believe. When we saw the Islanders and Sabres, Jordan Greenway hit Mike Riley.
Mike Riley, yeah.
And Mike Riley was knocked out. And because he was knocked out and had to go through concussion protocol, they discovered in the testing of him trying to return that he has a heart ailment that requires surgery, and he is out indefinitely.
Mm-hmm.
This is so mind-boggling to think that if he didn't get hurt, there could have been more dire consequences down the road for an unsuspecting Riley. Like,
you know what? It happens often, those type of things where you get hurt somewhere and they run body testing and whatever and discover something. And this is pretty significant. You know, I remember Luke Thierrette was a kid that got drafted by the Sabres about my time, like a year or two later, showed up to camp, did his physical, and then they found out, hey, you have testicular cancer. Like he had no idea. And boom, they found out by running other tests. I had one of my son's friend playing football. He got hit in the ribs and was hurting. And they were like going to the doctors or whatever. They found out that his kidneys were kind of like attached together. So instead of having two, he had one and then couldn't play football anymore. Because what if you like have a really bad kidney injury, you only have one. Like it's all these things that come together, right? And Mike Riley now obviously is going to be better off because he's going to, they're going to take care of his heart. But because he got hit, and it wasn't a bad hit, it just he hit his head on the ice after, was really looking rough when he came off the ice. There was no penalties. They reviewed it. Everything was fine. But the fact that they ran testing now found that he had a heart condition that needs, you know, a procedure to correct it. That's pretty pretty crazy. And you talk about concussion. We got Darnell Nurse, who got hit by Ryan Reeves over the weekend. That didn't look good on Darnell Nurse at all. Ryan Reeves got suspended 5 games for the hit. I would have given him a 10-game suspension for that hit just because it was – it was unnecessary. You're this big, tough guy. Go and hit a guy through the body. He picked the head clean. He hit him right through the head. Like, it was just awful. I would have given him 10 for that.
It was so scary in the immediate moments after that, seeing how much blood was coming from. I was horrified by it. And, you know, the suspension does nothing for the Oilers. The hope is that Nurse is continuing to get better, which reports say yes he is, but the Oilers' very uneven season continued again last night with the loss to Montreal, but as importantly it continued in that game against Toronto, unable to take advantage of that awful hit, meaning the 5-minute power play that resulted, and they ended up losing the game. So it's Edmonton remains one of the most they're like the attraction that people can't look away from right now.
It's a train wreck. It's a bit of a train wreck in Edmonton right now. Like they were up in Toronto and then just to have to score a Draisaitl goal late in the game with the goalie pulled to be able to get it to overtime. They like lost, what was it, 3-0 to Montreal yesterday. Like it just, it's been a bit of an adventure. Jeff Jackson was on, it was on Prime in Canada yesterday, and he was on during their mission, and he's like, oh, somebody, I think it's Blake Bolden, asked him, what's your biggest move when you were in charge? And he says, well, you know, changing coach last year, but right now it's, you know, there's a lot of conversation about coaching that are in the hot seat around the NHL. The Oilers don't have that option. Chris Knobloch's the head coach. It's just a matter of, can they put it all together? There's a lot going on in Edmonton for sure.
Who's on a hotter seat right now, Montgomery or Lalonde, Boston or Detroit?
Those are the two. I think Montgomery is on the hotter seat because the expectations are higher in Boston, and there has been a trend.
I don't know. Well, I get it, but I think the expectations are pretty high in Detroit, too.
They are. They are. And look, they're both very, very, very hot right now when you look at the seat they're sitting on. But Boston, I think the seat is hot on Don Sweeney as well, because over the last 4 years, the roster has gone completely in a different direction. And who puts the roster together? Your GM. So they don't have Patrice Bergeron anymore. They don't have David Krejci anymore. They don't have Jake DeBrusk anymore. They don't have James Van Riemsdyk anymore. They don't have who's on defense that they lost. But anyway, like they traded Allmark, and then they hadn't signed Jeremy Swayman. They give him the big extension. There's a lot going on in Boston, but as a team right now, where they were top of the league, or at least top 10, almost every year for three, four, 5 years in a row. Over the last 3 years, they've gone from top 10 to 15 to 25th in expected goals against. Like defensively, they're not good anymore. And that is a coaching's job to make sure your team performs, especially on the defensive side.
But Swayman hasn't been good. Korpisalo's numbers have been better. And that is a larger issue. The Detroit thing, though, is just like, if you didn't know and we were playing a game show and you had to guess as my partner, the correct answer, like what were the shots on goal in San Jose and Detroit last night?
Oh, I would probably say, but I mean, didn't Detroit win a game with 11 shots?
Right. When like this is this a year? Story.
So I would say it would probably be 35 to 20 for San Jose.
34 to 20 for San Jose.
Oh, that's what it was? Okay.
The Red Wings continue to be outshot by the biggest margin. They cannot sustain any games in the offensive zone. They're lucky that they have so much talent that they can sometimes overcome it. Their power plays top 3-4 in the NHL. Mm-hmm. It's elite, but holy cow, every single night, they're just so far on the wrong side of it from shot creation. Oh,
they are second last. They have 24.7 shots per game and they allow 32.5. Like Montreal is right behind them and has almost the same disparity in shots, but they're the bottom two in that category for sure.
Yeah, it's wild. We're back after this on Sabres Live. Stay with us.